think we're ready. Let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs. Today, as we continue our series on Christian character, we're going to talk about patience. Patience. I don't even like the thought of patience because, well, you wouldn't need patience if everything was going the way you wanted it to go, right? If things were running on our schedule, we wouldn't need patience. But the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Okay, now if that's true, look at the next phrase here. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Your proud spirit, my proud spirit, time and circumstances will break that. It might take a while. It might take a while, but the quicker we can get over this pride, this haughty spirit, this, I can do it, I can handle it, look at me, I don't need anybody. I don't even need God most of the time. And when I do need God, well, I sure don't need you. You just, me and God, we can handle it. Sooner or later, the Lord's going to break you of that, and he'll do it through situations that you can't handle and troubles that are going to overwhelm you and all of those kinds of things. But for our purposes today, if we could just believe this, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Are you saved?
Amen.
It's great to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
It's not near as good as it's going to be when you step into heaven, though. All right. The Bible is the Word of God. It's a wonderful book. It was wonderful the first time you read it. Right? But it's even more wonderful about time number 60, 75, 100. Everything has to do with God and a life from God. It gets better. It gets better. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't fall apart. Now, the meaning of patience is, it's not just waiting. Okay? Because you're going to have to wait whether you're patient or not. So patience is not waiting. Patience is waiting longer than anticipated, but not just that. Not just that. Patience is waiting with a trusting, confident attitude. Patience is waiting with a trusting, confident attitude. Everybody's got to wait. But that's not patience. Okay? Everybody's got to sit and wait for something to come around. That's not patience. Patience in the Bible is not losing our trust in the Lord and not losing our confidence in God's promises while we're waiting. The Bible speaks of patient continuance in well-doing. The Bible speaks of patient in tribulation. The Bible says that patience is a requirement for all who will serve the Lord, especially for leaders in the church and in the home. We read that in Timothy just a minute ago. So many places I gave you these in your notes. Romans 2, 7, Romans 12, 12, 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, 1 Timothy 3, 3, 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 12, 12. A lot of good references there on patience that we're not going to look at, but we're going to look at a bunch of them anyway, a bunch of others. Part of a good testimony of a church is that its members are patient. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Thessalonians 1:4, Revelation chapter 2. Now there are some circumstances in the Bible where people need patience. Circumstances where patience is required. For example, a farmer waiting for crops to grow. James chapter 5 verse 7. Okay, now that should tell us You can walk the floor, man. You can chew your fingernails. You can get frustrated. You can take nerve pills. But you're not going to make those crops grow any faster than crops can grow. You can't hurry that thing along. So a farmer is going to have patience. Matthew 18 talks about having patience while you wait for people to pay you what they owe you. And you'll find out you can't rush that either. Luke chapter 8 verse 15 says we have to be patient if we're going to see the results from our witnessing. Which means you don't just pour water on sinners and a convert springs forth. It takes some time. Patient waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. Hebrews 6:12, Hebrews 6:15, Hebrews 10:36. God's given us a lot of promises. He didn't say you'd get them today. Okay? Patience in physical illness and suffering. James chapter 5. And I wish I could tell you, patient until you're healed, but the Bible just says patient. And you might not get healed, but be patient anyway. And then in Revelation 1:9, the scripture talks about patience in persecution for the cause of Christ. Now think about these things. The farmer sows seeds and he waits. And he wants a harvest, but he's got to be patient. The Christian evangelist sows the seed of the Word of God, and he wants a harvest, but he's got to be patient. Someone does work in anticipation of wages. They're not working for free, right? Or they loan money, or they invest in anticipation of a return, and he's got to wait patiently for that. God has made us exceeding great and precious promises, but we have to wait. There's a glorified body, a resurrection body in our future. We have to patiently wait for it. Christians all over the world today, they're suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. I know it's hard for us to imagine that, but it's true. And the Bible says the reward for their patience, well, for many of them, will not come until they leave this world. And all of these things, what I'm forced to see is that I need patience because I don't get to dictate the terms of my life. I need patience because I'm not given any biblical expectation that things are going to go the way that I want them to go. So I have to live day by day in trust and in confidence that maybe tomorrow, but certainly when we step out of this realm, this realm of days and weeks and months and years, everything that God promised is going to be fulfilled as He promised. So if I got to go through this on the way, if I got to go through that on the way, you know, praise God, I am on the way. Okay? And if I got to suffer these things and then wake up in heaven, praise God, I'm not suffering these things and then I wake up in hell. Amen. So the Lord, He's not saying, just sit tight, I'll fix it tomorrow. He's saying, sit tight. He's not saying, just a few more rain showers and then the sun is coming out. In many cases, He's saying, all I can see is rain in the forecast. But sit tight. Be patient. That's different than what most people think. It's different. All right. Well, before we continue, we didn't pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, in this lesson here on patience, to help that you would help us to see what it takes and what patience will lead to, the importance of patience to be able to live a godly life as you would have us to. Father, I pray that this lesson on patience, which is very, very biblical, will open some eyes, open some hearts, help some people to see where they have failed and hopefully help them to see the steps they can take to make the necessary corrections. So, Lord, please speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to learn to be patient and see what that involves today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now the next place we'll look is in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and we'll start at verse number 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what did we read here? Patience, first of all, comes from God. But patience comes from God through God's Scriptures. Okay, so in order for me to have the patience that I need to, with trust and hope, deal with the troubles and the problems and the difficulties in my life, I have to know what the Bible says. And I have to believe what the Bible says. I have to not only have a God, but I have to trust God. Okay. Well, let's be honest about it. When troubles come my way, and I don't like them, and troubles come your way, and you don't like them, when difficulties come my way and your way, and we don't like those difficulties, if we don't know what God has said in the Bible, we're going to be in the flesh and we're going to act out in the flesh. If we do know what God said in the Bible, but we don't trust God, we're going to act in the flesh. We're going to live in the flesh. So I have to, A, have a relationship with God, but that has to be a relationship with God wherein I trust Him. And B, I have to read and know my Bible, but I also have to trust the Bible. You understand? Okay, so this afternoon, somebody's having money trouble. And they know that the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." They know the Bible says that, but they don't believe it enough to put God first and to put church first and to put Bible reading first and fellowship first. And so they walk away from God to chase money, because they didn't trust what God said in the Bible. Fair enough. Another example, a woman, they're lonely. Okay? And loneliness is powerful. It really is. Loneliness is powerful. Now, so they know the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is the comforter. They know the Bible says that there are right relationships and wrong relationships. This is right, this is not right. They know what the Bible says, but they don't believe the Bible. They just ignore what the Word of God says, and they grab anything walking past. And they have some sort of a fleshy encounter, and they say, "Well, at least I got what I wanted." But you didn't get what you wanted, because you're still unhappy and you're still frustrated. Because why? Because that flesh cannot satisfy you. Flesh can't satisfy. So we need to know what the Bible says about troubles, about trials, how God provides, and what to expect from God. But if we know what God says, but we don't trust God, and we know what the Bible says, but we don't believe the Bible, patience cannot kick in. Because I stop waiting and I yield to the flesh instead. Well, God didn't come through fast enough, so who is going to come through? Okay. You think you are? Okay. Well, I looked to the Lord and I asked the Lord, I told the Lord what I needed. The Lord didn't meet my needs quick enough, so I'm going to go out and meet my own needs. Oh, Well, how do you think that's going to work out? So patience requires that I know God, and patience requires that I know the Word of God, but I have to trust God and trust the Scriptures, or I am not going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and act in the flesh. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Now, if there were people here today with physical difficulties, I would like to be able to lay my hands on you and heal you. Not biblical. I'd like to wave my coat at you and heal you. Not biblical. I'd like to blow on you and knock you down and heal you. Not biblical. I'd like to anoint you with oil and pray over you and heal you. Almost biblical, but not biblical. We've got to read the whole passage there. But look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans 8, 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Okay, now what are the bookends of that statement there? Verse 22, travaileth in pain. Verse 23, ourselves also, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our body. The other end, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So verse 23, my body hurts. Verse 26, my body is infirmed. Verse 24, praise the Lord, he's going to redeem my body. Verse 25, I got to wait for it. See there? I got to wait for it. Now, here's what I would tell you. If I were in constant pain, I would be genuinely tempted to use illegal narcotics, alcohol, shamans, faith healers, you know, anything to help that pain. But I'm telling you, because it's powerful. And nobody would make light of your pain. I would be tempted to get bitter and turn against God in my heart. So what do I need? I need to trust God enough to patiently wait for the day that I am delivered by God, by the God that I trust. See, we're talking about something here a lot different than getting saved. Okay, getting saved is actually pretty easy. Okay, we're talking about something here a lot different than going to heaven when we die. Okay, we're talking about having the same confidence when we sing hymns to the Lord on the days when our world is falling apart as we had on the days when our world was spinning real nicely. It's easy to trust God when you don't need to trust God. It's easy to have confidence in the Lord when you can go all day without really thinking about the Lord because you really didn't need the Lord. Okay? But on those days when you really realize that you need Him, it's hard to wait for Him to stop everything else and run and minister to your wants. Okay? Have you ever prayed something kind of like, Lord, I'm just being honest with you and me. Right now, at this moment, I don't care about anybody else in this world. I really need you to help me. Can you just ignore all of them for about 30 minutes and come help me, Lord? Now, maybe you wouldn't put it in those words exactly, but isn't that the prayer of our heart? And what's the Lord supposed to do? Because, I mean, if you think about it, he's hearing several million of those kinds of prayers all at once. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and then James chapter 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and James chapter 5. Now, we talked last week about finishing, right? And I'll tell you where a lot of people quit. For 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, some guy just lives in the flesh, lives in sin, and makes a big disaster out of his life. Then he hits the bottom, and he hears about Jesus, and he gets saved. And now he's going to do something for Jesus. And he does something for Jesus. But remember, he's still got 35, 40 years of reaping to do for what he sowed. And somehow he thinks, well, God, I served you for 3 weeks now. You kind of owe me something. Well, first of all, I don't owe you anything. Second of all, I've given you everything that you need. Third, I'm not giving you what you asked for, because if you don't reap some of what you sowed, then I got a bunch of verses that I'm going to have to take out of my Bible. Okay? It's a lot of reaping and sowing verses in the Bible. Okay, and so you know what they do? And I'm not saying that they don't get saved. I'm just saying they turn their back on God and they go back out in the world and they start living in their flesh again. Because they didn't think God was going to make them wait 4 whole weeks. You know, I thought when I got saved, things would be better than this. Who cares what you think? What's important is what did the Bible say? The Father, he doesn't turn to the Son and say, okay, Son, listen, let's throw out Ephesians because that guy down there, he thinks that we should do it differently. Son, no more Colossians. There's a woman down there that doesn't think it's fair. You know it's not going to go that way. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Did you notice that order? Do you know why it's hard to patiently wait for Christ? Because we don't love God. You know what would make it easier to patiently wait for Christ? If we loved God. You can't be patient if you want God to be your servant. You can't be patient if you want God to be your bellhop or your Santa Claus. Okay? If you love the Lord, see, if you love the Lord, it's just great just to be with Him. It's just great to sit on the patio with God. And it's just great to go for a ride with God. And it's just great to sit at the table and have a meal with God. It's just, you know, if you fall out of love, it's, well, when are you going to fix the hinge? When are you going to trim the bushes? When are you going to wash the dishes? When are you going to clean those windows? Okay? Oh, wait a minute. You gave me this greeting card and you said, all I want to do is be with you for the rest of my life. And now you don't want to just be with me. You want me to get up and do stuff. And when you get saved, it's like, Lord, all I ever want to do is spend forever praising you. And God, he's just kind of sitting there saying, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. It's funny, we recently had the Valentine's Day holiday. And I heard guys at my job talk about how much money they had to spend on flowers and other things for their significant other. That's the term they use for the woman they're shacking up with but not married to. Okay, but these guys are talking about how they really didn't want to spend all that money for flowers, but, you know, because of all the built-in pressure of that love holiday, they had to do it. You know, and, you know, I got to get her something for Valentine's Day. Why? You're paying her rent. You're giving her free transportation. You got her a wardrobe. You gave her a closet full of shoes. She's got a pantry full of groceries. What do you mean? You got to buy her some flowers that are going to be dead tomorrow, or she's going to be mad at you. And then these kids, I want something real expensive for my birthday. Well, stop talking and you'll get a safe place to sleep for your birthday. What do you mean you want a birthday present? Your mom and dad, they fed you all year, didn't they? It's amazing, man. Lord, you didn't answer my prayer. I pulled you out of hell. I gave you eternal life, and you're angry with me because I didn't jump when you snapped your fingers? May the Lord direct us into the love of God, and that will help us with the patient waiting for Christ. I'll tell you, I don't like preaching this because I know the Lord's going to try me out tomorrow. You know, we've had church members in our prayer meeting. I don't remember who, but I remember there were some stood up and said, "Would you please pray for me that God will give me patience?" And I was thinking, "No, brother, no. You don't want to ask for that." And I'll show you why in a minute. All right, let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse number 8. James 5, verse 8. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Okay, so here's my problem. I'm a child. I'm a child, and all I want is a bike. I don't want anything but a bike. I just want a bike. All I want is a bike. I want a red bike. I don't want anything but a red bike. Mom, Dad, if I get a red bike, I'll never ask for anything again as long as I live. All I want is a red bike. And I get a red bike. And I don't want anything else as long as I live. For 2 weeks. And then I see something else. And then I see something else. And then a friend gets something else. And then I see something in the store. And of course, that store is designed that way. I mean, did you notice these people that manage those stores? They're geniuses. They put the candy and the sweet cereal at eye level of the kid who's got to sit in the shopping basket. So you have to put your kids underneath the cart where all they're going to see is the laundry soap and all the boring stuff. And the pharmacy, did you ever notice where the back pain medicine is in the pharmacy? It's down on the bottom, so you can't even reach it with your bad back. It's just cruel. But anyway, you know why I can't be patient? Because my heart, according to this verse, my heart isn't established. Okay? As long as my heart is all over the place, I can't be content. As long as I want something different every single day, or 1,000 different things all at once, my heart cannot be content. If I want a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm set. Okay? My heart is established because that's what I want. Then if all these other things come or don't come, okay. Praise the Lord. My heart is set. Okay? Isn't that wonderful? So until our heart is established in the love of God, we're not going to be able to be patient. We're going to spend so much time frustrated, aggravated, and fretting. Okay, look at chapter 1 of James. Here's why we don't like to pray for patience. Because you really don't have to. James chapter 1, verse number 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall." I'm not there. "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." I'm not there. How about you? Verse 3, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, when I read that, I think, well, what if I just didn't have any trials of my faith? Then I wouldn't need patience. God, wouldn't that be great? Well, there's a little thing called sin, and it entered the world, and it's in me, and it's in everyone that I encounter. So not having trials, it's not an option. So I can either have trials one after another all my life with patience, or I can have trials one after another all my life without patience. But there's no opting out of the troubles and the trials and the diverse temptations. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, here it is, wanting nothing. Are you there yet? I'm not. All right, so here we go. King James guys, I'm King James only. I believe every word of the King James Bible. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe in salvation, in grace through faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. Got that down. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection and the second coming. I know the difference between the rapture and the second coming. I believe the rapture is pre-trib. Okay, I mean, how many boxes would you like me to check? If I still want stuff, I'm not perfect, even with all of that stuff. Okay, I'm not complete as long as I think I'll finally be happy and satisfied when I get that, whatever that is. Okay, I'll finally be happy and satisfied when God does that. I'll finally be happy and satisfied when God fixes him or her. All right, do you know what the Lord said? It's just going to be something else. It's just going to be something else. It's going to be something else. Mom, Dad, this was the best Christmas ever. We'll never need to do Christmas again. Liar. You'll have another list in 12 months. Okay? Right? Come on. Brother, if you can't be pleased with Christ, you can't be pleased with stuff Christ does for you. If you can't be pleased with your husband or your wife, you can't be pleased with the things that they do for you. There has to be a central foundation point of love and relationship, or we can't come to a complete joy, enjoyment of our relationship with the Lord, as long as it's conditioned on him paving the road for me. You know, every mountain has to be brought down, every valley has to be filled, and every crooked place has to be made straight. If I don't have a smooth road all from here all the way to glory, I'm just going to gripe, I'm going to complain, I'm going to whine, I'm going to moan against God. And the Lord said, I can't fix the whole world, you're going to have trouble. Stop wanting so many things. Patience will teach you that if you let it have, it'll teach you that that you don't need all those things if you just let it have its perfect work. Here's what we want. We want God to take the trouble away. God wants us to learn to have confidence in him with the trouble. We want God to take the difficulty away. God wants us to have trust in him with the difficulty. Now, most people that you know that are patient, if you know anybody that's patient, is probably a senior saint, right? And they have, you think about it, they're old. They have more aches and pains than you do. Many of them have more financial worries and troubles than you do. They have larger extended families, so they have more family issues than you do. So they're not calm and peaceful and content in the Lord because He made all their troubles go away. They're calm and peaceful and content in the Lord because they figured out it's okay. I got God. And He takes care of me. And He is going to get me home to heaven. And all this other stuff, it's like trying to swat a fly in the barn. You can't get rid of all of them. You have livestock, you're going to have flies. Well, I'm going to get rid of all those flies. No, you're not. You just got to learn to work with it. Okay, are you saved? Do you love the Lord? Are you going to serve God? Well, I want to see souls saved. Well, that's going to have problems. Well, I want to see the church grow. That's going to have problems. Well, I want to put up another building. Well, that's going to have problems. We want to expand. We want to have more outreach. That's going to create more problems. Look, everything that you do is going to bring with it more trials, more tribulations, and more circumstances, more difficulties. At some point, you got to learn to trust God. And that's what the Bible really is all about. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Yeah, right. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So there's benefits there of patience. But you got to have that patience first. Now, but do you see that? So I have a relationship with the Lord, then something goes wrong. And my relationship with the Lord, it's like I don't even have it until I learn to be patient. And then it's, I do have a relationship with the Lord, even with that. Do you want to know why so many people doubt their salvation? Because they didn't think this would happen to me if I was saved. People doubt their relationship with the Lord because I didn't think God would let that happen to me if I was saved. Those things happen to everybody, though, saved or lost. But watch it now. Tribulation worketh patience, verse 4, patience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's nothing in that passage, did you notice? Nothing in that passage about what was troubling us being removed. There's nothing in this passage about what was hurting us being healed. What happened is, I got saved because I loved me. I want me to go to heaven. I want me not to go to hell. Then I had trouble in my life, and I learned to trust God in the trouble. And the result of it was not that I went to God to get something for me. The result of it was now I have the love of God in my heart. I knew Him. Okay, I knew Him, but now I love Him. I called on Him to save me, but now I love Him. How do I love Him? Because He was there for me when I was at the bottom. He was there for me when I was brokenhearted. He was there for me when I was abandoned. He was there for me when I was lied about. He was there for me when I was broke. What causes this love of God to grow in our hearts? It's the trouble, the tribulation. When you learn he's not like everybody else, he didn't leave. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse number 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? That means being treated badly because you deserve to be treated badly. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Okay, so you notice what we're talking about? We're not talking about you shot somebody and you served your 8 years. Okay, we're not talking about that because you had that coming. That's what you deserved. Okay, we're not talking about you bought something from a guy and tried to get out of paying him, and you finally got confronted and had to pay up, and it really hurt you because you didn't have the money. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you came to church, you served God, you gave to support the work, you said your prayers, you dropped sin, and then a tire blows out and your car is smashed to bits. And now you don't have a car. And you have a bunch of medical bills on top of that. Oh God, oh, what did you do that? What did you do that to me for? You know, God didn't do that to anybody. That's the kind of stuff that happens in a world full of sin. Okay? But if you can go through setbacks, quote unquote, undeserved, if you can go through trouble when all I did was what was right, why? Because I'm patiently enduring the circumstances of life, because I trust God and I'm confident of God. That's what we're talking about. And that's a whole different ballgame than getting saved and reading the Bible through once a year. All right, James chapter 5, and Job 13. Those two are going to go together. James chapter 5 and Job 13. James 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Wouldn't you think we would say we count them happy that don't have to endure? This is the Bible. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Do you know, even lost people say that. So, well, that woman, she's got the patience of Job. Who's Job? Huh? I don't know, but she's got the patience of Job. Because everybody's heard of the patience of Job. The patience of Job. Well, so how did Job endure total financial ruin and the unnatural death of 10 children and then horrific physical affliction in his body? How did he endure that? Job chapter 13, and I'm just going to read parts of verses 15 through 18 of Job chapter 13. Okay, ready? Verse 15, Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That is the patience of Job. He didn't say, if God fixes all this, I'll trust him. He said, if God takes it one step further and kills me, I'm going to trust him. That's the patience of Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Verse 16, he also shall be my salvation. Verse 18, behold now, I have ordered my cause. So here's what he said. I set my cause in order. I'm going to serve God. Okay? You just lost all your property. I'm going to serve God. But you just lost all your children. I'm going to serve God. You just lost your health. I'm going to serve God. Your wife just cursed you and walked away. I'm going to serve God. So listen, he had set his course, and he didn't let trouble change his course. And he said, here's my salvation, and I trust him, and if the next phase of this is death, I will die trusting God. Brother, sister, that is the Bible definition of patience. It doesn't mean that you had to wait 4 hours in the waiting room before the doctor finally saw you, and it was just all you could do to keep from losing your cool. That's not patience, okay? Because I've waited through things without losing my cool, but inside, man, I committed 100 sins. I didn't kill the guy, but if I could have killed the guy, you know, I'm sorry the doctor's a little late. Yeah, why? Well, because 3 people went into cardiac arrest this morning. I don't care. I got an appointment. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Boy, that's a lot easier to read than it is to practice. Wouldn't you agree? All right, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we'll go to Colossians chapter 1. When you find those verses, I'll make a statement, then read the scriptures in support of that statement. 2 Peter chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. And I want all you enthusiastic, fired up young Christians who love God with all your heart this afternoon, and will love your flesh with all your heart tomorrow, and will love God with all your heart Monday night, and then love your flesh with all your heart Tuesday. And I'm not looking down my nose at you. I'm going to tell you something. Until patience works, your flesh will prevail. Your flesh will come out on top. In times of trouble, times of hardship. Because if you don't trust God, you'll walk away from God when things get bad. And you walk back to God when things start getting better. And you do it your whole life. It's like you're on a roller coaster ride or something. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are you saved? Then you're out. Okay, you're escaped from the world. You're escaped from your lusts. You're going to have to go back to them once you're saved, because God got you out of them already. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Did you notice something? This is all in order. These things occur in this order. Okay, because you're adding to. You can't love others. You can't even be kind to others. You cannot be godly until you learn to be patient, because that's the order here. You say, well, I'm saved, I just love everybody. No, you don't. And that will be proven as soon as somebody mistreats you. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, well, that guy did me wrong. Well, God told you somebody would do you wrong. You didn't believe him, apparently. Well, you know, I witnessed and I gave, and now I'm broke. And I prayed and I'm still broke. And I thought if I gave money to God, he'd give me a bunch of money back. Well, you just thought that. He didn't say that. Now you're mad at the preacher, you're mad at Christians, you're mad at God. Has nothing to do with being saved or not being saved. You lost your confidence. You lost your trust. You lost your hope. And now you're back in the flesh. Now, I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm telling you, this is what is going to keep happening until you can just trust God to get you through the troubles and the trials of your life without saying, I waited for God for 24 hours and now I'm going to the flesh. I prayed to God 3 times and he didn't jump, so I'm just going to dive back into sin. When I sin, I'm just saying to the Lord, I'm not satisfied with you. You're not good enough. I'll let you take me to heaven because, well, I don't want to go to hell. But you're not good enough. Boy, that's tough. That's tough. Well, here's what he said. I gave you everything. I got you out of everything you were in. Why are you going back to what I got you out of? Well, because, yeah, you got me out, but you didn't do enough stuff for me, so I'm going back. See, that's what he's saying here. That's what he's trying to show you. Man, I need patience. You need patience too, don't you? Look at Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Okay. Why is he praying that for? Well, what is he praying that for those people for? Is it for soul winning? For church building? No, look. Unto all patience, and there's no comma, and long suffering, no comma, with joyfulness. So he didn't say, I'm praying that you can learn the Bible inside and out so that you can be a great Bible teacher. He said, I'm praying that you'll learn the Bible inside out so that when you go through trouble, you can patiently suffer long without losing your joy. Without losing your joy. You know, I want all the finished product. Right now, let me see. I want all of you who say, I'm a finished product, I'm fully mature, I'm a complete Christian, would you stand if that's you? You're a finished product. You don't have any more growing to do. You're ready. Okay, and I didn't think that any of you would stand. I'm glad none of you did. Okay, because we're not there. And we won't be there on our last day on this earth, you know. But, you know, you hear about Christians, they suffered a lot of heartaches, a lot of setbacks. They got really bad physical problems that renders them practically unable to move, and some can't even talk. And yet they manage to get to the church to hear the preaching of God's word. And with you just watch those people, and with everything they have left in them, they can't even hardly get their arm up, but they're going to do it as far as they can and say, praise the Lord. They can't say the words, but you know that's what they're saying. And amen to the preaching of God's word, with no anticipation of ever getting well. Okay, no anticipation of making more money, no anticipation of seeing their family members turn into Jesus before they leave this world. They just learned enough about God and learned enough about the Bible to know, I'll never again win souls. I'll never again preach a sermon. I'll never again lead a Bible study. But I'm not giving up on my joy. I'm not giving up my joy because I'm confident that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my friend, and I know He'll get me home to heaven. So, let's read some verses together, some closing admonitions. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, you say, or that government. You want to talk about the government? Oh, that school board. You want to talk about the school board? That judicial system. You want to talk about the judicial system? All those false thises and false thats. Okay. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Guess what the Lord is not going to do for us? Make wicked people stop doing wicked things. Guess what the Lord's not going to do for us? He's not going to cause all the Christians to come out on top and all the bad guys to come out on the bottom. You know what the Lord said? Stop fretting over all the bad guys, over all the bad stuff, and have trust, have confidence, and joy in me. And it will be okay. It'll be okay. You know, if you went a week without looking at any news of any kind, TV, internet, magazines, newspapers, everything that was happened, that everything in the world that happened would still happen. You just wouldn't be bothered by it, because you wouldn't know about it. And if you spend all week reading about it, and at the end of the week, everything that happened happened and you couldn't do anything about it except get upset about it. So all it does, all what knowing about it does, is get you upset. So the Lord said, why not just spend that time with me instead? If you can't fix it, it's just going to upset you. Why not spend that time with me? Luke 21. Is your soul saved? Your soul is saved, right?
Amen.
All right. Did you know that the Lord is not the only one keeping your soul? He's made you an overseer of the soul that He saved. Watch this. Luke 21, verse 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. You know what God wants me to do? He wants me to govern my inner man so that I never lose trust and confidence and hope in God. And I have to possess my soul. He says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Okay? You can't cause me to trust. Okay? I can't cause you to trust. I can teach you from the Bible why you should trust God. I can't make you trust Him. You can show me from the Bible why God is worthy of my confidence. You can't make me be confident. You have to determine that for yourself, in your heart, in your soul, that you are going to trust the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run. Well, that sounds fast. With patience, that sounds slow. The race that is set before us. I got saved in 1991, and I thought the rapture would be in 1992. And I thought the rapture would be in 1993. And I thought the rapture would be in 1994. And, we started this church in 1996, and I thought it was going to bloom, grow, thousands of people were going to get saved, change the world. But then it became obvious we weren't going to retain people here forever in Kuwait, because Kuwait's just a temporary place to work, right? Everybody here, you got a plan to go back home one of these days, right? So we taught and ministered to this group of people and then watched them go. and taught and ministered to that group of people and then watched them go year after year after year. That wasn't the way I thought things were going to go, but that is the nature of ministry among expatriates in this foreign land. I guess here we're the foreigners, but there's been other setbacks along the way too, hadn't there? I mean, the COVID virus and the loss of some church members, including my wife, that could have made us want to quit, couldn't it? How many of you thought that might happen? No, don't raise your hand. Well, we weren't allowed to gather for about a year or more, but we found a way to keep on meeting online. Some may have quit, I'm not sure. I might need to follow up on some. Some I haven't heard from, but we don't know the reasons. And over the years, those that quit, if you've been keeping count, I don't think anybody has, but those that quit greatly outnumbered the ones who stayed or remained. And those that didn't get saved greatly outnumbered the people that did get saved. You know what the Lord said? Just keep running. Just keep running. Stay in the race. Just want you to keep running. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Your race, it's not winning souls. Your race isn't building churches. Your race isn't changing the world. Your race is not your race is to not stop trusting God joyfully. Your race is to not stop trusting God joyfully, confidently, until you set foot in glory. That's your race. So keep running. Keep running. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, just two more stops here. Real quick, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. When that person does you wrong, don't get angry with them. Say thank you for helping me learn to be patient. Thank you for the part that you're playing in bringing me on to perfection. And you're doing a great job, by the way. I appreciate your zeal and enthusiasm for being one of my diverse tribulations. All right, be patient toward all men. That's a tough one. All right, Psalm number 40. We'll end here. Psalm number 40. We think patience means waiting until this trouble is over. In the Bible, patient means just not letting it turn you away from your trust in God. It might not ever be over in this life, but we don't stop trusting God. Psalm 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? So let's just keep calling on the Lord, trusting the Lord, praying to the Lord, and one of these days we'll open our eyes and we'll be in glory and all our troubles will be over. Now today, if you realize, Lord, I'm not as patient as I should be, just take these things to heart. Okay? Now, don't make any reckless vows or promises to God, not on something this serious. But old Job, he said, I just made up my mind. I am going to trust God. And nothing that could happen to me is going to stop me from trusting God. That's the whole key to the thing right there. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for teaching us in your word and the need and the importance for patience and how we lack it. And Lord, we need it. And if we don't somehow figure this thing out, Lord, we're going to not be able to continue on to glory. I mean, to be the glorified person that you'd have us to be while we're here. So, Father, we pray that you'll help us to remember these things, to let the troubles and trials and people that try us, let those things make us more patient. Help us to take it as an opportunity to grow in patience and not to go back to the flesh, not to give in to our flesh and give up on you. Help us, Lord, to remember to continue to trust you, to have confidence in you, to not only know your word, but to believe it and act, take action based upon what you show us there. Lord, we sure have a long way to go. We pray that you'll be there all along the way. We know you will be because you promised. We're thankful, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.